Hello everyone, welcome to another video. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus should be put on trial for crimes against humanity. This might seem like a hyperbolic statement, but I'm gonna lay out the evidence for my case so you can make up your own mind about the director of the World Health Organization. Tedros, as well as being the first World Health Organization director without a medical degree, also has somewhat of a political background. On his online biography, you can see that he was the Ethiopian health minister from 2002 to 2012. It somehow neglects to mention his other role as the Ethiopian foreign minister from 2012 to 2017, before his WHO appointment. Now, I wonder why they would have left that out. Because aside from his medical credentials, Tedros also happens to be a member of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, which is an organization about as peaceful as the name suggests. It was founded as a communist revolutionary party that came to power in 1991 and overthrew the Mengistu dictatorship, forming a coalition with two other ethnic parties. Over time, the TPLF, Tigray People's Liberation Front, began to exert more and more influence over the other two parties. In Ethiopia, most military generals and key leaders of the government are all Tigray, including the president who ruled Ethiopia for 21 years until his death. The Tigray represent only 6% of the population of Ethiopia. One of the major ethnic groups are the Amhara, who mostly made up the government during the Mengistu dictatorship. Favorable treatment of the Amhara under Mengistu didn't win them many friends, so much so that the TPLF 1968 manifesto declared the Amhara people to be their eternal enemy. And Tedros himself hails from the Tigray region and was a senior member of the party when it came to power. Just how senior was he? Well, this Ethiopian newspaper lists him as the third most important member of the Politburo, which gives the impression he was slightly more important than just a medical administrator. The TPLF was listed as a terrorist organization by the US government in the 90s, and it's still listed as a terrorist organization in the Global Terror Database, because it has this unfortunate habit of carrying out armed assaults in rural areas. The Amhara people under the new government have reported systematic discrimination and human rights abuses. Human Rights Watch in 2010 wrote about how aid in the form of food and fertilizer was being withheld from Amhara villages if they had associations with the opposition party. Other forms of aid denial involved refusing emergency healthcare to children, which was carried out by the same ministry at the time led by Tedros Adhanom, current director of the WHO. The Amhara People's Union, an activist group based in Washington, issued many other accusations of human rights abuses against the TPLF, including noting that during this time, birth rates in the Amhara region was lower than every other region, and that around 2 million Amhara simply disappeared from the population census, which was admitted in Parliament in this video. But not content with denying aid to political dissidents, Tedros also spent a lot of his time as health minister covering up epidemics in Ethiopia. There was a cholera outbreak that spread through the region in 2007, which infected thousands of people in neighboring countries in East Africa. But when it spread to Ethiopia, the Ministry of Health tactic was to rename the disease AWD, acute watery diarrhea, instead, meaning that on paper, all the neighboring countries had cholera epidemics, but Ethiopia didn't. International organizations were pressured not to call it cholera, even though the UN tested it themselves and found cholera, and were told not to reveal the real number of infected. Another stunning victory for the health minister. Also, the deadly famine that struck Ethiopia in the 1980s, which it's still associated with, is not entirely a thing of the past. The WHO itself, in its reports, after pages and pages of gushing reviews on how great Ethiopia's health sector is, admitted in 2016 that at least 8.6 million people in rural Ethiopia still needed food aid to survive, and said that the situation had barely improved for 4 years, so that after the end of Tedros's illustrious term as health minister, he could boast a mere 8% of the population that would starve to death without foreign aid. And so, after these shining accomplishments in health, Tedros moved on to bigger and better things. In 2012, he became Minister of Foreign Affairs, and under him, the government saw a crackdown on journalists and dissidents, including an attempt to extradite Ethiopians that had fled to Yemen in exile to avoid political imprisonment. Yemen and Ethiopia entered negotiations to track down and extradite the Ethiopians in Yemen, and the negotiations were led by Tedros himself. There's even a picture of him here negotiating with the Yemeni foreign minister. One such case was a British citizen called Andy Tsege. He was arrested in Yemen and he was given a death sentence twice by the Ethiopian government. This led to the involvement of the British government, who threatened Ethiopia with denial of aid unless he be granted asylum. Tedros responded to the UK government in person, saying that Tsege was, quote, being treated very well. He even has a laptop. Have you ever heard of a political prisoner with a laptop? End quote. Andy, when he came back to the UK, told a somewhat different story of being tortured for days on end, alongside dozens of other prisoners who reported rape and beating and denial of medical treatment. And one of the reasons, perhaps, that Tedros's qualifications as foreign minister is not included on his online CV might be because of the mass protests that engulfed the country in 2016. The Ethiopian government, a few years before, unveiled a plan to seize 1,000 square miles of land, mostly in the Oromia region, and this involved the forced relocation of 15,000 people, which the government said was good because where they lived they lacked infrastructure. But somehow these ungrateful citizens didn't really appreciate the massive favour that the government was doing for them, and mass protests broke out during a cultural celebration in 2016. The police responded at first with tear gas and later with mass shootings. The violence and resulting stampede killed an estimated 500 people, according to Human Rights Watch. The Foreign Affairs Ministry, led by Tedros, issued a state of emergency and arrested an estimated 70,000 people and forced many opposition journalists into exile. Tedros himself got into a public spat with Human Rights Watch after their presentation. First, he denied that the numbers were as high as they were, and then claimed that the police at the event were unarmed and that no one died from shooting. No expert myself, so I assume that, in this picture, Ethiopia must have found a way to develop entirely non-lethal assault rifle-shaped devices. Impressive stuff. And so, this is the noble figure that ascended to the role of director of the WHO in 2017. And not being one to miss a chance to defend murderers, Tedros had previously argued against the international trials of Uhuru Kenyatta and his minister, under whose government 1,300 people had been killed after rigged elections. And so, not surprisingly, one of the first things that Tedros did after he took the job was to nominate Robert Mugabe, a goodwill ambassador to WHO. Robert Mugabe, who in the 1980s had ordered the killings of 20,000 people in Zimbabwe. Tedros also, during the coronavirus outbreak, has never missed an opportunity to praise the good governance of China. And given the human rights record of China, it's no wonder he likes them so much. China has funded billions of investment in Ethiopia, building 70% of their roads, financing mass media centres for propaganda, and actually financing the construction of the African Union in Ethiopia, which was found to have contained hidden surveillance by the Chinese government. And actually, Tedros seems to see China as a model of development for his own country. Ethiopia also has forced relocations, social credit-style scorecards for citizens, mass media propaganda. Ethiopia's government resembles a kind of low-rent version of China's authoritarian model, complete with a one-party state and focus on profit above human rights at all cost. Things in Ethiopia do seem to have improved recently, but until very recently, it remained one of the world's worst human rights violators, receiving a score of 19 out of 100 on the Human Freedom Index for 2018, and the government that took over in 1991 has stayed in power ever since. It asks the question, how did a man like Tedros become director of WHO? Well, the World Health Organization has been riddled with all kinds of scandals for a while now. In the 1990s, the WHO saw almost no growth in funding for a long time. And so, according to health researcher Sonia Shah, what happened then was that the World Health Organization turned to corporate funding to finance a lot of its health projects. And by 2008, corporate funding made up 80% of the organization's budget. Now, there's nothing wrong with this in principle. If corporations want to fund health projects, good for them. But this created a serious conflict of interest on many issues. Led to cases like drug companies working with WHO lobbying to weaken patent laws for new drugs in India because it would lose them money, and blocking laws in South Africa that would have led to making HIV treatment more accessible. And this misallocation of funds and corruption of the WHO became so bad that in 2016, it was found that the World Health Organization had spent $200 million a year for the past 4 years on travel expenses, not even including those covered by the host country, which was more than their budget for HIV treatment. Another absolutely damning report issued by the Associated Press last year found that WHO employees who were working to relieve the cholera epidemic in Yemen had actually siphoned off many of the funds for themselves and embezzled it. Some of these workers, after this information came to light, were not even removed from their jobs. Tedros himself was promoted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who financed many large-scale health projects in Ethiopia previously that Tedros had helped facilitate. And so they apparently wanted to promote similar projects on a global scale, and because they'd worked with Tedros in the past, it made sense for them to promote him at the WHO. And the appointment of someone as deeply unqualified as Tedros, to put it mildly, I think owes a lot to the somewhat labyrinthine structure of the way director generals of the organization are appointed. So the director of the WHO is selected by the executive board, who are in turn appointed by a rotating minority of the World Health Assembly, who are made up of health ministers appointed by world governments. And so the World Health Organization has a similar problem to many other global institutions. By the time you get to the appointment of the director, he is an appointee of an appointee of an appointee of someone who may have been elected legitimately, probably not considering most governments at the World Health Assembly. And so by the time you get to him, the democratic mandate has been stretched so thinly as to be almost meaningless, which is of course the same problem that a lot of these globalist institutions have. The mainstream media, of course, trying to portray Tedros as a saintly figure who goes around trying to cure the world of deadly diseases. A Twitter campaign slogan ran saying, "It's time for an African to lead the WHO." Yeah, it just makes you wish they could have picked one that wasn't part of a regime that had spent the last few years killing and relocating more Africans than any other in the world. Some outlets have pointed out that the director of the WHO actually doesn't have a whole lot of power when it comes to policy, but I think this misses the point that actually the organization is seen as an authority on matters of health, and it advises world governments on how to behave in global pandemics. And so the mismanagement of the coronavirus situation has been totally exacerbated by the WHO and people like Tedros. He not only made it worse by praising the CCP's handling of the crisis at every opportunity, even as doctors were arrested and people were welded inside their homes, despite the mountains of evidence of the faking of the numbers. He also gave completely contradictory advice, first of all saying that countries should not enact travel restrictions to China, that it would be discriminatory, then turning around and chiding them for not doing enough to prepare. The virus was only named a pandemic a few days ago at the time of making this video, after infecting 140 countries, which is 70 more than it took for swine flu to be declared a pandemic. And so part of the reasons countries didn't take the crisis as seriously as they should have is because of the inaction of the WHO and Tedros. I'm not here to say that the World Health Organization has never done anything good in its history, but if there was ever an example of the failure of a global institution, the WHO is it. And the sheer scale of its mismanagement means that it should be radically reformed and defunded or completely disbanded. Instead, they're currently advising tech companies like YouTube on how to censor information about the coronavirus. So are you listening, YouTube? This is the kind of thing you're subjugating yourself to. In a sane world, instead of leading a global organization, Tedros and his cronies would be put on trial at the International Criminal Court, tried for his crimes, and if found guilty, spend the rest of his life in prison. Thank you for listening.